Good morning. Great to see you again. Thank you for inviting me to come, Pastor Wayne. Never ceases to amaze me how God works through this fellowship to speak and minister to people like me. So thank you. You noticed that sometimes you'll be sitting and listening to someone speak or whatever, and your brain is going faster than your body is, and you kind of get a little fidgety because somebody's talking, you know, and your brain is going faster. Our souls are able to go even faster than our brains are able to go. And we encounter God in a worship service, and it's going so fast because we're trying to figure out what is happening, because He's working in a dimension that we don't know or understand, because we see with our eyes. But as we've been talking about this morning, He's interested in our hearts. Last time I was here, we looked at passages of Scripture. We didn't even get to them all in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus was talking about the fact that He had been called to offer His life as a sacrifice and die one day on the cross. And the disciples did not think that was the best plan. And they argued and they fussed. And Jesus tried to expose with the disciples. Now remember, these are not Pharisees or rank and file sinners. These were His friends that had lived with Him for 3 years. And He tried to expose within their own hearts self-centeredness that was never going to lead them to the fulfillment and the satisfaction that they were after in life. It just never would. And Jesus says, fellows, faithful service to God and humble service to others is the only way that you're going to be able to get what you're looking for in this life. And He tried to expose this problem. This morning, I would like to talk to you about how it is, what is God's plan, His strategy to break the back of this self-centeredness that we have within each of us. And you need to know that the Holy Spirit, even as we sit here this morning, He has a plan. And He is fully vested in breaking the back of self-centeredness in me and in you. And the first thing that God, by the way, I pared this down as much as I could this morning. And there are different things that would be a part of this strategy, but I'm only going to be able to get to one of them this morning, and it is this. The first blow that God inflicts on our bent towards self-centeredness is when He saves us by His grace. And as we've been talking about this morning, He gives us a new heart. You can see that illustrated in Luke 19. Someone who was saved by God's grace. Zacharias, a tax collector, despised, hated. He was in charge of collecting taxes on behalf of the Roman government. But he had full license to cheat the people and extort them and intimidate them, and he did, and he became rich. And he was not very well liked, although he was rich. And Jesus stumbled on him one day and said, "Zacharias, can I come over for dinner?" And he did. He saw something. After dinner, Zacharias says in that chapter, he was changed. He said, "I want to give half of everything I own to the poor. And anybody that I've cheated or extorted, I want to pay them back four times." And after Jesus heard that, you know what he said? "I think this guy is saved. What more proof do you need than that? He is saved." You remember the Apostle Paul. He was doing his own thing, and on that road to Damascus, he was struck blind and met Christ, a confrontation with the living Christ. And after he figured out who it was and Jesus identified who it was that he was talking to, you remember what his response was. "It's not my way anymore. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way." And he was changed. He was saved. You remember the psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 12, "What can I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me?" There was a transformation and a change in the hearts of people that were in a bad way. Several years ago, I was raised in a Christian home myself. Went to college, went to seminary, planted a church. After a couple of years, there was an old Anglican building, 100 years old, right here on the island, and we bought it. And in the midst of all that going on, we had a group. Unfortunately, some of the more wealthier ones that were with us, and they decided they were going to leave. And they took themselves and their money with them. And I was fortunate. There were some other churches that called and said, "Hey, why don't you come? We would like you to come and pastor our church." And I said, "No, I don't think I'm ready to leave this group." And I had to get a second job just down in Cobble Hill delivering newspapers at night, pitch black, driving around in my car delivering newspapers to try to make ends meet. I had a wife and two children. And it became a sanctuary. Driving around in the pitch black at night as I was trying to sort through this experience that I was going through. And I remember, I can't even remember the exact verse, but the idea that we are not saved by works of righteousness, but it's by the mercy and the grace of God that we are saved. I talked about it and preached about it. But God, by His Holy Spirit, spoke to me in a way that night and said, "Your circumstances that you are in, I've got it. I'm going to take care of it. I've got it covered. I've got you covered." And I was saved in a sense that night. I had to pull the car over. I was bawling my eyes out. And God is ready to rescue people these days who are in need. And He does it. He does it today to those that are humble and ready to call out. He saves us by His grace, but He also gives us a new heart. We're a whole new person. Better get back to my notes here. We're so busy looking at the outer things that happen around us. It's where we live. We have five senses. But do you remember what God said through the prophet to Samuel? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And when we are changed by God's grace, He gives us new hardware. That old stuff is gone, and we have new equipment, including a new heart. When we talk about the heart, it's used hundreds of times, by the way, in the Scripture. We're not referring to the pump. It's referring to this whole combination of the mind and the will and the emotions and spirit and our personality. The core of who I am and who you are. One of the things I appreciate about coming to this church, there's not much of a dress code around here. People, I don't think, lose a lot of sleep over how one might be dressed on Sunday morning. But there are a lot of people around here that are very concerned about what is going on inside of our hearts. I know what different times I've come, and a group of people will take me before the service if I'm here and preaching, and we go into Pastor Wayne's office and they gather around and they pray because they're concerned about what's going on in our hearts. Jesus is very concerned about matters of our heart. And that's what I would like to do on this Valentine's week for just a few minutes before we close, to talk about this serious heart disease, but also a painful and effective cure for that disease. And the heart disease that I'm talking about is mentioned many times in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament alike. Goes by many names, but I'd like to kind of put it under this umbrella term. We might call it the disease of hard-heartedness. You remember the parable of the sower and these different soils, and one of the soils that Jesus referred to in that parable was the hard soil, where the Word of God would come, but it simply could not penetrate because the heart was so hard it could not take root. And so God is trying to talk to us. He's trying to relate to us and wants to take us places. But we're not interested in going. And guess what happens? A little layer goes over our heart. He tries again, and a second layer goes over our heart, and a third and a fourth, and it's not too long in that process and we end up with hearts of steel. Same thing is true in the way we relate to one another. We can be so insensitive to one another. Step by step, every single time we decide to elevate ourselves over those around us, a layer gets over our heart and it gets harder and harder. Hundreds of crossroads that we come across every day, we can be encouraging or discouraging. We can elevate ourselves or we can lower ourselves. And when we make that wrong choice, another layer and another layer, and pretty soon we end up with hearts of steel. But God has a cure, and it's miraculous. In His grace, it's 100% effective, but the cure is painful. And I think many times that's why we would rather live with the disease than to accept God's gracious gift, the cure that He would provide. So how does God heal a heart of steel? The first step is that the heart has to be pierced and stabbed and pricked. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost when Peter receives the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and he begins to preach? in Acts chapter 2, verse 27. And at the very end of the message, we read that all the people that heard the message, the text says that the people were pierced in their hearts. They were stabbed with the truth of the Word of God from Peter's message. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the Bible is like a two-edged sword, and it cuts, and it stabs, and it pierces, and it hurts. But it's the only hope for a hard heart. And that's why it's dangerous for hard-hearted people to be around true, transformed believers. Because you know that when you hear it, it's going to pierce. And there's going to be truth, and we're going to see things about ourselves that maybe we don't want to hear or see. And it's why sometimes when we visit a church and there's an uncomfortable sermon or message, we say, why do I need to go to church on Sunday? I don't need that. It hurts. I don't want to hear it. Or a friend that comes to you and says, you know what? I'm going to tell you something about yourself that maybe you don't want to hear. And they go ahead and say that, and tell you something that may be a blind spot. And it hurts. And you say, boy, why did they have to do that? I'm sure Pastor Wayne, sometimes when he preaches, it's not easy to stand up and preach what God might lay on his heart, because he knows it's going to hurt. I think it hurts for the one that's on the table, and it hurts for the one who's doing the operation. But it's a part of the process, and it's the pathway to healing. But it is difficult. And we have to cut carefully and in love. But there has to be this piercing. And we know when we look back that it's worth it. When a hard-hearted person allows themselves to be put on that operating table and expose themselves to the Word and to the surgery, this surgery begins. Let's talk just a little theology this morning, too. Sometimes you go to the hospital these days with heart problems, and they've got some amazing procedures. They can, you know, put those, go in through the veins and expand and do all kinds of amazing things to help to unclog the heart, oil changes and different things. I don't know what all it is. But that's not true in the spiritual operating room. It's never that way. When the disease of hard-heartedness is exposed and pierced through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the surgeon always finds a heart that is beyond repair. It can't be fixed. And that's why the prophet Ezekiel says in chapter 18, verse 31, you people need a whole new heart. We're going to pull out the old stone, and the old stone heart, and we're going to replace it with a new one of flesh. The old stone heart that was unresponsive to God and insensitive to man is going to be replaced by a new, soft, responsive heart, one that's responsive to God and sensitive to others. This new heart, we were singing about it earlier, Job chapter 23, verse 16, talks about having a soft heart, a responsive heart toward God, a pliable heart. Psalms and Proverbs talks about being contrite and responsive, so you're able to hear and respond when God talks to you. Matthew, you remember, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, when they find stains of sin on their lives, they simply confess it because they want their hearts to be pure and open so that God can do what He wants to do. There's absolutely no limit to what God can do through a soft-hearted man or a soft-hearted woman. We're going to continue on in worship in a moment. But I would like to stop and pause before we do and have a time of prayer. You remember the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and know my heart." So I just want to ask you how your heart is today. Really. Do you recognize that you have that fatal disease toward God and others? There is a cure when we allow our hearts to be pierced with the Word of God and by His Spirit, with His Spirit. You need that heart surgery and that total transplant. You need a new heart, and you can have it today. I love Paul, what he says in Ephesians. He has a prayer there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He says to the people in that church, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." What a great prayer for us this morning. As we pray and say, "Lord, I need a new heart, one that you've provided for me by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross." Just one more word before we pray. And the Bible talks in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, which is really a quote from Psalm 95, verse 8. It is possible that once our hearts are soft, they can become hard again. It can happen. And every time we do elevate ourselves and that layer after layer, hearts can become hard again. But God is ready and willing and able to give us new hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here amongst us this morning. Thank you for helping us become new people. Thank you for transforming us from self-centered people to people that are fixed on you and faithfully serving you and humbly serving others. We look around us in our world. Some of us have hearts that are so hard. May your word cut and pierce and expose our hearts, ones that need a heart transplant today. May even right now in this moment, someone might be praying for a new heart. And when we receive that new heart, we covenant with you that we will never say no to you and your Spirit and your Word. We want to be soft and sensitive. Melt our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.